कृष्ण माता जी अष्टावक्र,
माता जी प्रभु प्रभु जी जय हिंद माता जी। हरे कृष्ण।
नो माता जी, बट इट इज 6:20. आई स्टार्टेड रिकॉर्डिंग. यू कैन हैंड ओवर द कॉल टू प्रवीण गोविंद प्रभु फॉर इंट्रोडक्शन.
ओके माता जी, थैंक यू सो मच माता। हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम टू भक्ति संघ कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल। टुडे वी आर फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हिज ग्रेस माधवानंद प्रभुजी प्रभुजी टू एनलाइटिंग अस ऑन द टॉपिक ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम वर्स 5th कैंटो 3rd चैप्टर वर्स 15 वर्ड्स ऑनवर्ड्स। बिफोर आई हैंड ओवर कॉल टू यू, आई वुड लाइक टू हैंड ओवर कॉल टू प्रवीण गोविंद प्रभुजी फॉर ब्रीफ इंट्रोडक्शन ऑफ प्रभुजी। हरे कृष्णा प्रभुजी, धन्यवाद प्रणाम। प्लीज टेक अवर कॉल द प्रभुजी।
Hare Krishna. My dharmat pranams to all the devotees on the call. His Grace Madhavananda Prabhu joined ISKCON in 1982. He served as head pujari and temple president for ISKCON Seattle. He obtained his first and second initiation in 1993 from His Holiness Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj. He then served for a few months as assistant to Maharaj in 1994. Prabhuji is editor-in-chief at Gopal Jew Publications, which publishes the books of His Holiness Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj, as well as Krishna Kathamrita magazine and Bindu E magazine. Besides this, he has also been resident of Bhubaneswar and Puri for the past 2 decades. He has traveled to various countries in the world in the past 2 decades for speaking Hari Katha on the order of His Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Madhavananda Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, Mahavishnu, Srila Prabha, thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning.
Hare Krishna, can you hear me okay?
Yes, Prabhuji, we can able to hear. Thank you, Prabhuji.
So before we begin to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam, nice to see Lila Purushottam Prabhu, and my revered spiritual master, he gave me some instruction. He said that before you speak on Bhagavatam, you should offer prayers to the Bhagavatam, because Krishna Tulya Bhagavata, Vibhu Sarvashray, Pratishloki, Pratirakshari, Nanatakoi, just as Krishna is Vibhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so also is Srimad Bhagavatam. So just as we offer prayers to Krishna, it's also appropriate to offer prayers to Srimad Bhagavatam. Just as you have your japa session, and before we begin chanting our japa also, it's traditional, many Vaishnavas, they begin by offering some prayers to the holy name. So I'll just chant a few prayers. You can recite some of the verses with me if you know. Gora-gra-ganya-gana-gota-galoru-haram Goranga-gura-tama-gopya-da-kolpa-briksham Gopala-gada-rati-dam-yati-singha-gora Govinda-deshi-kavaram-satatam-namami Narayanam namaskritam naram shaiva narotamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat vedi ramayane shaiva purane bharate tata adhavante cha madhye cha hari sarvatra giyate Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande shugurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So good morning, dear devotees. Nice to take part in this wonderful association with devotees, even though it's from such a distance. So today we're reading from Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 3, text number 15. And for those of you who are just tuning in now, this chapter speaks about Maharaj Nabi, who's the eldest son of Agnidra. and how he wanted to have sons, and so he performed so many sacrifices for that purpose and worshiped Lord Vishnu. And Vishnu became pleased with him and agreed to take birth in the womb of the wife of King Nabi and incarnate as King Rishabhdev. But the priests who were performing that sacrifice, we'll hear in this verse today, they were praying for this benediction for the king, and they felt a little bad afterwards. Now, an interesting background point before we start on this. In this fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find a lot of prose verses. And technically, this is a symptom of a particular type of literature in Sanskrit, which is called champu. It's like you may have heard of Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu. A champu literature is a literature which mixes shlokas with prose verses. And Bhagavatam is one example of a champu literature, as is Valmiki Ramayana. So we're on text number 15 in the third chapter of the fifth canto. And the prose describes, Yad uha vava tava punar adabrakartar iha samahutas tatartadiyam mandanam nastud yadeva helanam deva deharsi samyena sarvan prativodham avidusham. Translation, O Lord, you perform many wonderful activities. This is the Brahman speaking to Lord Vishnu. Our only aim was to acquire a son by performing this great sacrifice. Therefore, our intelligence is not very sharp. We are not experienced in ascertaining life's goal. By inviting you to this negligible sacrifice for some material motive, we have certainly committed a great offense at your lotus feet. Therefore, O Lord of Lords, kindly excuse our offense because of your causeless mercy and equal mind. Srila Prabhupada in his purport comments, the priests were certainly unhappy to have called the Supreme Lord from Vaikuntha for such an insignificant reason. A pure devotee never wants to see the Lord unnecessarily. The Lord is engaged in various activities, and the pure devotee does not want to see him whimsically for his own sense gratification. The pure devotee simply depends on the Lord's mercy, and when the Lord is pleased, he can see him face to face. The Lord is unseen even by demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. By calling on the Supreme Lord, the priests of Nabi Maharaj proved themselves unintelligent. Nonetheless, the Lord came out of his causeless mercy. All of them wanted to be excused by the Lord. Worship of the Supreme Lord for material gain is not approved by authorities, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7:16, Chaturvida bhajante mam jana sukritan arjuna arto jignasa artarti jagyani cha bharatar shabha. Quote, O best among the Bharatas, Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me, the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the absolute. Initiation into bhakti begins when one is in a distressed condition or in want of money, or when one is inquisitive to understand the absolute truth. Nonetheless, people who approach the Supreme Lord in this way are not actually devotees. They are accepted as pious, sukritanya, due to their inquiring about the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not knowing the various activities and engagements of the Lord, such people unnecessarily disturb the Lord for material gain. However, the Lord is so kind that even though disturbed, he fulfills the desires of such beggars. The pure devotee is anyabhilashita shunya. He has no motive behind his worship. He is not conducted by the influence of Maya in the form of karma or jnana. The pure devotee is always prepared to execute the order of the Lord without personal consideration. The Ritvija, the priests at the sacrifice, knew very well the distinction between karma and bhakti. And because they considered themselves under the influence of karma, fruitive activity, they begged the Lord's pardon. They knew that the Lord had been invited to come for some paltry reason. So today, I'd like to speak something about Sakama Bhakti, which means bhakti, which is mixed with material desires, and how to overcome that mixed bhakti via higher association. Now, as we mentioned a few minutes ago before our prayers, that the Bhagavad, the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes it, pratishloki, pratyakshri, nanatakoi, each and every verse, indeed, each and every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam has unlimited meaning. And this verse could take us a long, long time to explain. For those of you who would like to go deeper, I would recommend you could look in Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandarbha. I don't remember which Anucheda, but he speaks elaborately about this Chaturvida Bhajanti Imam verse. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in a series of articles which he published in Sajjana Toshini, and which were later compiled into the form of a book which he called Bhakti Tattva Vivek. Market Bhaktivinoda has two books. One is called Tattva Vivek, and the other is Bhakti Tattva Vivek. This Bhakti Tattva Vivek also speaks elaborately about this Chaturvida Bhajanti Imam verse, in line also with what this purport is saying today. But our time is a little short, so I'm going to try to go little quickly. First of all, some of the main overall points in this verse. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his Saartha Darshani commentary, brings out the fact that the Brahmins here are humbling themselves before the Lord. They're chastising themselves, so much so that here in this verse, they're describing themselves as mandanam, not very intelligent. Because Deva Halanam, we've disrespected you because we're approaching you and asking you for something mundane. So significant in this verse, this is our main point today, that the priests, they felt like they were being offenders. Now, this is interesting in several lines. One is that the priests, the prayer they're offering is not actually on their behalf. It's on behalf of this king, Maharaj Nabi. Now, that's an interesting point by itself, because sometimes we're asked, I know before I came to Bhubaneswar, I used to do different pujas and different things, especially for the Indian community when I was in Alachua, Florida. And oh boy, people would come many times and want you to do different ritualistic sacrifices, even for Lord Shiva and different things. And I would generally refuse to do that, or I would do that if I could see a way to do it as in a Vaishnava way, and I would preach to them about it. So in this verse in purport, we're being told that the priests, they consider themselves to be offenders because they're going along with the desire of Maharaj Nabi. So the Bhagavatam says there's two ways to give an instruction. Anvaya vyatireka byam, directly and indirectly. This is an indirect instruction. So the indirect instruction is that for persons who are priests, for persons who are preachers, who are teachers of Krishna consciousness, they shouldn't water things down for the pleasure of mundane people, even if those mundane people are great kings and leaders, like Maharaj Nabi. No, I'm sorry, you can go to someone else. We don't do that kind of program. Another important principle being spoken about in this verse and purport is something very deep, which I feel is a very important principle for devotees to understand. It's something we also give seminars on for like a week or so at a time. So I'm just, again, going to just touch on that. And that's Vishad Yoga. The first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita has been described by Baladeva Vidyabhushan. He gave it the title of Vishad Yoga, or the Yoga of Lamentation. And it seems that he took that from, I think it's the first verse of the second chapter of the Gita, wherein Krishna responds to Arjuna's pitiful prayers in the first chapter. And speaking about that, it's described Vishidanta Midam Vakyam Uvacha Madhusudana. That Vishidanta Midam Vakyam, in response to the Vishada, the lamentation of Arjuna, Uvacha Madhusudana, Madhusudan Krishna spoke. So this word Vishad has several meanings. It means depression. It means lamentation. It's interesting to note that it's described as a type of yoga or a way to connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this verse, we're hearing about these priests who are connecting through Vishad. Now, Vishad has several meanings also. Vishad itself is a compound word in Sanskrit. Two words are there, bish and ad. Bish means poison, and ad means to accept. Put together, it means lamentation. It means despondency or depression. But it also means the yoga of accepting poison, the poison of our particular position. Now, the Bhagavatam is very, very broad-minded. It describes, some of you may be thinking as we're going through this verse in purport, the Bhagavatam describes akama, sarvakama va, mokshakama udariti, tibrena bhakti yogena, yajeta purisham param. That whether someone is akam, they don't desire anything. Sarvakam, they want everything, they want it all. Or mokshakam, they want liberation. Still, tibrena. Tibrena means very intensely. Tibrena means like on fire. Tibrena bhakti yogina. They should practice bhakti. So then how do we understand, if that's the mood of the Bhagavatam, why then do these priests feel guilty? How do we understand that? We know from the Bhagavatam and from the Hari Bhakti Sutta Doya, which both describe the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. In the Hari Bhakti Sutta Doya, Dhruva Maharaj, after the Lord appears before him, he prays, Stana Bilasi Tapasi Stito Aham. He said that I was doing all these austerities, this tapasya and things, because I wanted some big position in the material world, and that's why I was worshiping you. I was looking for a piece of broken glass. Kacham vichinvan. Kacham means a broken piece of glass. But instead, dibya ratnam, I got a wonderful, amazing jewel. And therefore he says, kritartosmi, I'm fully satisfied. Vadam nayachi, I don't want anything at all. Similarly, in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, he prays at the Varams Tvam Vara Darshiva, that my dear Lord, you're the best of the givers of benediction. If you want to give any benediction, then the benediction I pray to you for is that there be no material desires in my heart. Prabhupada, in his purport, he cites this verse, Anyabhi Lasita Shunyam. Very important verse. This is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. And this verse is described by many Vaishnavas as the nutshell verse of the entire Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The entire book is contained within this one verse. And this verse gives a definition of pure bhakti. And that pure bhakti, it begins, Rupa Goswami says that anyabhilashita shunya. There's shunya. There's no other desires other than the service of the Lord. Jnana karmadi anabritam. And then he mentions jnana karma, and the word adi is used. Adi means etc. That anabritam, it shouldn't be covered by jnana karma, etc. And I'll come back to that in a moment. Rather, anukulyena krishnanu. That anukulyena, it should be favorable bhakti, anukulyena krishnanu shilanam. And this anukulyena krishnanu is defined by my Guru Maharaj. This indicates the mood of Srimati Radharani. Anukulyena means favorable. Anukulyena yasya sankopa, we accept sankopa, those things which are favorable for our bhakti. Favorable meaning, which means things according to the desire of Guru and Krishna. I accept those things. That's Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. That's real first-class bhakti. Now, a question may come in your mind if you're a little astute. We're speaking a lot of philosophy right now. Please forgive me. Just fasten your safety belts. I hope you'll survive through this. We're going to try to express this in a way which I think you hopefully will find relevant also for your japa group, because ultimately all of this has very much to do with japa, as we'll see from a couple of verses which Bhaktivinoda Thakur cites in his Bhajan Rehasya, which he gives as the definition of our qualification to chant japa. And it's very, very much connected with our discussion right now. So I'd like you to try to bear with me. And I also want to just make a note at this point in the beginning. I forgot to say that I may have a humble request to the devotees that you please listen attentively and think about what we're saying. And at the end, I'd like to request a few minutes if the devotees have any reflections, what it is that struck you particularly about this talk today. And perhaps some questions, but even more important to me than the questions is the paraspara, a verse we'll discuss in a few minutes, this back and forth between the devotees and what's important. So Gyana Karmadi Anabritam, in this verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he uses the word anabritam, not shunyatam. Anyabhilashita shunya, but Gyana Karmadi Anabritam. Now, anyabhilashita, other desires, should be shunyatam, but jnana karmadi should be anabhitam. It shouldn't cover bhakti. Indirectly, this verse is giving us hope. Because it's indicating that some jnana and some karma and adi means, etc., it means performing yajnas, it means doing vanashram dharma. Some of those things may be helpful, indirectly it's saying, but anabritam, they shouldn't cover bhakti. And in his commentary in this verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that they may cover bhakti in one of two ways. Someone may think that vanashram dharma is the goal, and I'm doing bhakti so I can purify myself, so I can understand vanashram dharma. Or someone may be thinking that unless I do vanashram dharma, I can't do bhakti. And both of those cover bhakti. In other words, some gyan, and I'm just going into this again very lightly, some gyan and some karma may be beneficial to help us to understand what is Sudha Bhakti. Understanding that, I'd like to turn to a very technical description which we came across in a series of classes we gave recently, or actually about a year ago, on Kapila Dev's teachings about bhakti and different modes of nature. And I'm just going to cover these briefly. just a moment here. I'm just going to cover these briefly, and we'll get some idea, because if we're going to speak about mixed bhakti, what is mixed bhakti? And there's a very, very beautiful description given in the Brihadaranyaka Purana, which is cited by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his commentaries in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. And he describes how there is bhakti, is three types of bhakti in ignorance, three types of bhakti in passion, and three types of bhakti in goodness. We're just going to briefly cover those things. Just be patient. Yes, chan yasya. Vinashyartam bhajate shadaya harim falavat prithivi pala sabhaktis tamasadama. So this is the adama tamasic bhakti, or the person who has the worst type of lowest type of faith, bhajate shadaya harim. He has faith, shadaya harim, in the Lord, but he desires to worship the Lord to destroy someone else. I've seen devotees sometimes going out on book distribution and actually praying, please God, destroy that guy who punched me in the nose, or just destroy that guy who said some bad thing to me. And sometimes we see devotees even having arguments like that. If someone is praying like that to the Lord, they have some desire to destroy another person, that's adama tamasic bhakti. Tamasic bhakti. The very most low class kind of bhakti. That means that India, it's some kind of material desire. These priests, they're lamenting they have some desire. So in the Brihadaranyaka Purana, the nutshell or the root of all these desires is described. And the next is described the tamasa madhyama, or the middle ranged tamasic bhakta. Yorichayat kataiva diya sarini sapatim yata narayanam jagannatham savai tamasa madhyama. This person, he's like a prostitute. He's worshiping the Lord with a cheating mentality. In other words, he wants something for himself. And the particular word used here is kaitava. Jiva Goswami, in his Bhakti Sandarbha, he also uses the same word, kaitava. He says there's niskapatya, the same meaning of the word, kapatya, niskapatya, kaitava means kapatya. There's niskapatya and sakapatya, bhakti, or bhakti with cheating and bhakti without cheating. And bhakti with cheating means when someone is approaching the Lord with some cheating mentality, they want something for themselves. They want perhaps a child. They have some material desire, which is in the realm of ignorance. And he says that bhaktis tamasotama, that worship in the of tamasic bhakti, the highest type, is when someone is competing in a competitive mood. Deva puja paran drisva, that's described that after drisva, after they see the worship of the demigods, then they want to compete with the demigods. And so that's the best of tamasic bhakti. Then rajarsic bhakti, again, there's three types, adama, madhyama, and uttama. And just to go over these things very quickly, these are big, big topics by themselves. There are three motivations basically for rajarsic bhakta: vishai, yasha, and aishvarya. Vishai means for some sense object, to have a son. The wife of Kardamumuni, Devahuti, she wanted to have a son. At one point to destroy Indra. No, it wasn't Devahuti, it was Diti. That's in the mode of ignorance. But Vishai means sense objects. Someone is worshiping the Lord so they can have sense objects. That's Adama Rajasic Bhakti. Yasa, they're worshiping the Lord so they can become famous. So everyone will say, look how many classes he's giving online. 100 people attended this thing. Wow, this person, they're giving such wonderful classes. They're very famous for doing japa, for kirtan, for cooking. They're worshiping the Lord, but it's in a mode of passion because yasa, they want some fame. And the uttam, rajasic bhakta, is that one who wants some aishvarja, who wants some kind of opulence, meaning transcendental opulence. Prabhupada, he notes in Nectar of Devotion that anybody who has any desire, any aspiration for satisfying his senses becoming more and more important, either in the material sense or in the spiritual sense, cannot actually relish the really sweet taste of bhakti, devotional service. So Prabhupada here is speaking about bhakti in the mode of passion. So we're wanting some fame, we're wanting some sense gratification. And then the Brihadaranyaka Purana goes on to describe three types of sattvika bhaktas. And the lowest, the adama sattvika bhakta, is someone who wants to destroy their sins. Yastu swakrita papanam shayartam. They want to destroy their pap. That's in the mode of goodness, but it's the lowest of the mode of goodness. We may question, is praying like that to become free from material desires bad? Well, we cited this verse earlier from Prahlad Maharaj. We praise Yadida Shasi Mekamans Vadam Tums Vadadarshava. That, my dear Lord, if you want to give me a benediction, then please don't allow any material desires in my heart. But this prayer of Prahlad is not the same as the Adama Rajasik Bhakta's prayer. As Prabhupada explains in his purport to that verse, Prahlad's prayer is to be free from material, his prayer to be free from material desires is motivated out of a desire to please the Lord. Whereas the Adama Rajasik Bhakta, he's praying for his own benefit. His, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta once described it, Radhakund, he said, our goal is not anartha nibriti. That's not our goal. If you think that's our goal, to have your heart purified, you're in the wrong place. Our goal is artha prabriti. We don't just run around telling everybody about bad things that's going to happen to you, this or that. I remember once I was distributing books at a supermarket in Los Angeles. And at one point I stopped and went around behind the store with my box of books and put them down. And I was chanting japa behind the store. And unfortunately, someone called the police. And the police came and they arrested me. They put me in the car. What are you doing here? And I was very disturbed. I wasn't so much concerned about going to jail because I knew that they're not going to put me in jail for that. And the devotees would certainly come and take me out. But at that time, I was quite a fanatic. I was disturbed that I was going to stop my book distribution. So Krishna gave me some intelligence. And as I was riding in the back of that police car, I started preaching, we'll put that in quotes, to those police officers. And I told them, I said, officers, you don't eat meat, do you? And they said, yeah. I said, do you know what will happen to you? But from eating meat, you'll have to take birth for every hair on the body of that cow, and you're going to be slaughtered, and you don't have illicit sex, do you? Oh, my God. And you don't. And I started preaching to them about the four regulated principles like I was a born-again Christian. And a funny thing happened. The police, I was so obnoxious. I'm a very obnoxious person. The police stopped the car, and they said, get out. They just threw me out. I wasn't qualified to get arrested. And I very happily got out of the car with my box of books and went back to distributing books. So our goal is not anartha nibriti. Our goal is artha prabriti. We want something positive. Our preaching is not to run around and tell people, like I was telling his police officers, you're going to burn in hell if you do this and this. Our process is to tell people something positive. And from that positive act, all the negative things will automatically go away. So the Madhyam Sattvika Bhakta, that's the Adama Sattvik Bhakta, the Madhyam Sattvik Bhakta, he's doing something because Haridam Priyamiti Sushrusham Kurite Tuya. He's doing it because he has some faith that this is pleasing to the Lord. That's much, much better. He's considering the pleasure of the Lord. But in a subtle way here, the consideration is that it's not actually for the Lord's pleasure. It's like someone who wants something from someone else. And to get that thing, they inquire about what it is that pleases the other person. That the real motivation is for something for themselves. Right? I want to find out what this girl likes, what kind of movies she likes, because I want to ask her out on a date. Not because I'm really interested in understanding what she is or who she is, but because I have this material desire for myself. So that's still sattvic. That's still very, very good because he's trying to understand what is the mood of guru, what is the mood of the Lord. But because there's some personal motivation with it, is madhyam sattvic bhakta. The uttam sattvic bhakta, is described didi budyat chayad yastu, that this person, they worship the Lord with a knowledge that this is what Shastra says to do. This is a very, very important, I must do this thing because Shastra says it. Well, that's a very, very good thing. That's that. Therefore, this is the topmost of the bhaktas who are saguna, who are practicing saguna bhakti, or bhakti within the modes of material nature. They're doing this by Shastra, but still it has some motivation because they're approaching Shastra wanting to know something for themselves, but they're still trying to understand it through Shastra. Shastra is so very, very important. Hey, Krishna Kun, could you bring me your keyboard? Is that possible? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Majjhalila chapter 22, there's a nice verse where Krishna, he describes a similar situation that we're hearing about from these Brahmins today. And it's a situation that I think many of us can find ourselves in. I'm just waiting for a keyboard real quick here. Thank you, Krishna. We'll go ahead and sing this verse. Avidya ehimurke vishayakena dibha sacharanamrita diya vishaya bulaiba. Krishna says, Amivigya, I'm a wise person. Ehimurke, this person's a fool. Vishayakena dibha, why should I give him this sense gratification? Rather, Swachanamrita Diya Vishaya Bulaiba, I'll give him the shelter of my lotus feet. And by doing that, Vishaya Bulaiba, he'll forget all about his sense gratification. Now, it's an interesting thing as a side note that sometimes we actually even convince ourselves that we don't want any material desires. I'm a pure devotee. I just really nothing that I want. I just want pure bhakti. That's nice. But we see these people, such persons, later on when they decide to get married. And they get married, and then all of a sudden, so many things start coming out of their heart. I'd really like a nice car. I didn't think I wanted a nice car before, but I really would like a nice car. And now I'd like children, and I'd like to have nice clothes for my children, and nice education, and nice toys for the children. And gee whiz, when I was a single person, I never thought about all these things. But all of those desires were there in our heart. We just didn't look at them. So our process is not negation. Our process is not to deny those things. And therefore, looking back on the comment that I made in the beginning, akama sarvakamava mokshakama udaradi, citing this verse that whether you have all material desires, no material desires, you want liberation, you should worship the Lord. Jiva Goswami, he calls this a kite of a bhakti, or bhakti that's not cheating. Or in the language of my Guru Maharaj, he used to say that your only qualification is your disqualification. This is Bishad Yoga. This is the lamentation of the Brahmins we're hearing about in this verse. They're owning it. They're accepting their mistake that they've made. In the Gita, in the 9th chapter, text 30, there's a famous verse, Apichet sudaracharo bhajatema mananya bhak sadareva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisa. This verse is not always understood very well by devotees. Krishna's speaking here about a sadhu, and he's a durachari sadhu, meaning his achar, his behavior is very, very bad. But he's a sadhu because he's doing ananyata bhajan. He's doing one-pointed bhajan. What does that one-pointed bhajan mean? For many devotees in our movement, we think that ananyata bhajan means that you're a pure devotee and you just have no desires in your heart whatsoever and you just only want to worship and love the Lord. But if you're saying that, then how is he a durachari? How is he behaving badly? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary in this verse, explains that this durachari, he's a sadhu, he's a durachari, but he's a sadhu because he's doing ananyata bhajan. And ananyata bhajan means he's not taking shelter of karma, of gyan, or of yoga, or of demigod worship. He's only taking shelter of bhakti. Now, he has material desires, and even more than that, it's not just saying abhilas, but it's saying durachari, his activities, his behavior is very, very bad. And this brings us to two verses from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, which I'd like to highlight for you today, which I'd like to suggest are very important, I think, for your group, for your discussion, because you have this japa group. If we want to chant japa, we need to have some handbook for that. And what is that handbook? That handbook is Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stressed Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna Nam. And both things should go together. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati said, we don't only have kirtan, but we also have to have Krishna Katha. And Srila Prabhupada would not only do kirtan, but he would have kirtan, some katha, and then kirtan again. Because that katha helps us to do that kirtan. So Bhaktivinoda says a very interesting thing in Bhajan Rahasya. There are two verses there, which I found very shocking, that he described as being our adhikar for chanting Krishna Nam. And he didn't explain this. But I, after some years of meditation on this, I'd just like to share with you my thoughts on it. I think it's actually rather obvious what he means. These are famous verses for those of you who like to study Bhagavatam, which is a very wonderful and important thing to do. This is Bhagavatam 11th canto, chapter 20, text number 27 to 28. I'll go ahead and paste this into the chat for everybody here. I would highly recommend. Thank you for letting me know the volume went down. Let me see here. Sometimes my computer does something by itself. Yep, and it did it again. Hare Krishna, it should be a little better now. So these two verses, and I'll go ahead and paste in the translation also. Jata Shradama Katasu Nirvina Sarva Karmasu. Jata refers to someone is waking up, or refers to birth, janma. Ja, janma, someone is dvija. Ja means birth. Dvija means second born. Jata means someone who's awakened or just taken birth. Jata Shraddho. They have some faith. Makata su, in my Krishna Kata, but Nirvina Sarva Karma su. Although they're disgusted, Nirvina, with all types of material activities, Vedadukatmakam Kaman, they know that, wow, if I do this thing, I'm really going to suffer. I'm a brahmachari. I know, I've heard, if I get married, it's going to be really miserable. But parityage pyanishvara, I can't give it up. Anishvara. Anishvara. Ishvara means a controller. Anishvara means someone who can't control. I can't do this. I can't control myself. And so they're engaging in sense gratification. Worse than the Brahmins that we're hearing about in this verse today. And they can't control it. What should they do? Krishna in the next verse says, Toto bhajeta mam prita. The first thing is, you worship me. Don't stop worshiping me. Srila Vyasadeva in the Padma Purana, when he speaks about the 10 offenses to the holy name, the last of which is to think that you're your body. That's pretty tough, to not identify with the material body. Then he says, Nama padara yuktanam, nama nyeva haranchigama vishanti puryuktani tane veta haranicha. That, okay, even if you're doing nama parad, don't stop. Just keep chanting. Keep doing nama parad. Don't purposely do nama parad, but keep chanting. And even if you're doing that sinful thing. Tato bhajeta mam prita. Therefore, Krishna says that tato bhajeta, don't stop. Continue worshiping me with affection, in a happy way, shuddha alur, very, very steady, with great faith, dhrita nishaya, in a resolute conviction way, I'm not going to give up bhakti. I'm not going to stop. Even if I can't follow any of the regulator principles, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue doing this thing. And nama parada yuktanam namanyeva hantigam. Even you're chanting in that way, those nama parads will go away if you keep chanting. Now, that's not such a simple thing. The problem is that if we do some offense, we lose our taste for chanting. We may give up the chanting. So Krishna's saying here that if you're in this situation, you're Pyaneeshvara, you can't give it up. That's okay. Just keep worshiping me. And Jusa Manastatan Kaman Duku Darkan Shagarhayan. While you're doing it, you should lament. I'm really stupid. What am I doing? Why have I been doing this thing? So this is Bishad Yoga. This is a yoga of lamentation where we own it, where we identify with it. And as my grandma said, this is my only qualification. My disqualification is my only qualification. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami has written a very beautiful book called Brajbilas Stava. It's Stava, it's prayers glorifying the pastimes of Vrindavan. And in the very first verse, he speaks about our situation, our problem. Pratista Raja Birbad, Hamkama Jarvatma Patibi, Chitvata Sangantashtan Agare Pandumambata. He says, I'm bound up with the ropes. Rajubir means of the ropes. And Bada means I'm tied up. What ropes? Kamajar, by lust, anger, and greed. There's some highwaymen, the robbers who are this lust, anger, and greed. I'm on this road of bhakti, and they're attacking me with this desire for pratista, for some distinction, with lust and anger and greed and things. So what can I do in that situation? I'm all tied up. I can't function. I can't move on this path of bhakti. The word chitva means to cut. Chitva to sangarantastan agare pandumam bataha. Bataha means the soldiers. The soldiers of that killer of the demon, Agasura. Agasura means sin personified. The devotees of Krishna, when I call out to them, or as my Guru Maharaj used to sometimes say, Krishna likes confession. When we go to that sadhu, and not just anybody, but sadhu that we trust, and we reveal our heart, Maharaj, I have this problem. I can't give it up. I have this. Then that sadhu speaks in a very, very harsh way. And that chastisement is good for us. Dovamangala Thakur, he was a devotee, he was a great devotee, he was a great poet, but he was attached to the nasty stool, blood, and urine, bile, and air of a prostitute. And it's a long story, probably most of you have heard, how once he crossed a river by grabbing onto a dead body, he climbed up a snake, he fell down during a great storm, almost died, so that he could see that prostitute, and she chastised him. And Krishna spoke through her. And Krishna, through that prostitute, Chintamani, and some acharyas have said that it was Bilvamangala Thakur's guru from his previous life speaking through that prostitute, she chastised him and said, if you were as attached to Krishna as you are to my body, then you'd be a great devotee by now. The Sanat Kumar Sanghita describes, Tadanam bhartsanam kami bogyat vena yatastriyaha grinati vaishnavanam cha tuttad grayam tatabudai. That just like a lusty man gets some pleasure when his mistress beats him. And there's some people, they make movies about that. I've heard it, of a woman beating a man with a whip or tying him up with ropes, and he gets some pleasure from that. Or just even some pleasure when he chastises, gets angry with him. Krishna even, he was getting some pleasure when the gopis chastise him. So, bhogyat vinayatastriya, in the same way, a wise person should take pleasure in the chastisement and beating offered by the Vaishnavas. But how does that chastisement and beating come? It comes by hearing Krishna katha. And therefore, two things we do. We chant Krishna nam, and we hear Krishna katha, because that Krishna katha, especially that Srimad Bhagavatam, that's the guidebook to the chanting of the holy name. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 3, text 30, there's a nice verse, Parasparanu katanam pavanam bhagavadyasam mito ratya mitashtusha nirvita mita atmana, that we should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord. How do we do that? And therefore, I cited this verse in the beginning, that this is my purpose today. We'd like to have some paraspara. We'd like to have some back and forth with everybody. We'd like to hear, what is your realization from our discussion? We should learn how to associate with the devotees by having this back and forth discussion and hearing about the glories of the Lord. And by doing that, mito raktya mitas tushtya nivita mita atmana. When we develop this trust amongst ourselves, we develop a deep, intimate friendship, which is based on this back and forth. If it's only one-sided, if we're only doing kirtan and we're not discussing philosophy amongst ourselves, the depth of our faith, the depth of our trust in each other won't be the same. Because I don't really know what you're thinking. I don't really know. Maybe you have some really weird, crazy ideas. But then when we start speaking about philosophy, then it comes out. And then I can see. But as we continue to speak about philosophy, and someone will say, oh, now I understand. I had a misunderstanding about this. Thank you. This is paraspara. And then by that exchange, then we have more faith in that person. This is how we develop community. One sociologist has commented, I often quote, that there are four types of glue every community throughout the world, throughout history have, by which people become bound together. The first is you should have your meals together. The more often you eat together, the more you make a bond with each other. And that's why your mother used to tell you to come to dinner with the family, right? And that's why we take prasadam together. The second thing is that we have storytelling together. In every society, traditionally, they would have stories and exchanges, paraspara. And that develops some community. The third thing is that we sing together. And every community, whether it's in ancient Africa or in South America or in China, where people gather together and they sing. And the fourth thing is to dance. These are four ways to develop community. But this paraspara has to be there, because this paraspara will help us to develop faith. Now, I'd like to just note very quickly in this regard that this is the business of guru. And it's not that anyone has a right to chastise every other person. It's not that we should just run around like a sadist or a masochist asking people to beat us and find fault with us, just any devotee. But we want, it's a business of guru. It's a business of someone that we have faith in. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wrote a letter in 1971 to a disciple, and he said, I've noted your several complaints against the devotees, but it would be better to set the example rather than to criticize the defects of the devotees. We should always remember that we recruit members from people in general. It's not expected that every one of our members should be immediately to the standard qualification. Excuse me, this is a letter from Srila Prabhupada. There's a similar letter from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Prabhupada said, it's not expected that every one of our members should be immediately to the standard qualification. The best thing for you is to set the example by your personal behavior and try to reform the others, not by criticizing, but by friendly behavior. If sometimes there are disagreements, we should forget such incidences and always be in friendship with each other. That's the meaning of marriage. Anybody who's been married for more than 10 years will tell you, if you don't learn to forget disagreements and just, okay, anyway, she's like that, he's like that, the guy really annoys me sometimes, but that's just the way he is, and I accept it. If we can't learn to tolerate those things, then we can't go on. So in this verse, we're hearing something about the Brahmins, their heartfelt and honest prayers to the Lord, how they feel like they're offenders, how they're mandanam, how they're very unintelligent, how they've done such a bad thing because they're praying for something material. And we've explained that this is Bishad yoga. This is a yoga of lamentation by which they're able to connect with the Lord. Not the kind of lamentation like someone in the mode of ignorance who just feels sorry for themselves because they can't enjoy sense gratification anymore because they're too old or their body is broken now. But the kind of lamentation which comes from bishad, from accepting the poison of our situation. This is also known as happiness through reality. Or as my Guru Maharaj would say, your only qualification is your disqualification. And these are the two verses Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes, Jata Shraddha Makatasu Nyavina Sarva Karmasu, that even you have some faith in Krishna Katha, you have some faith in the holy name, you're taking part in these programs, it's very, very good, but gee whiz, I have so many material desires, I have so many problems, what should I do? Krishna says, don't stop. Just keep going. Just keep doing your bhakti. Don't stop. Be very, very determined. Shadala Dhrida Nishchaya. With faith, with firm conviction, continue doing this pratha bhakti, but do it with the devotees. Do it in connection with the devotees. And I think this is the purpose you have this japa group for, not just to come together and chant japa together, although that's a very good thing. There was a devotee who was working for us for some years, and sometimes we asked him to chant japa. He was chanting some japa. He's a local Indian devotee. But he told us it takes him like, 1 hour to chant four rounds or something like that. And so we asked him, well, you should come and sit and chant japa with us. And then he saw how we were chanting japa. It wasn't like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, the way that he was chanting. So by coming together and chanting together, we learn something. But not only by hearing the holy name. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that holy name is non-different from Krishna, but that Krishna Katha is non-different from Srimati Radharani. And just as we don't want to separate Radha from Krishna, we shouldn't separate Krishna Katha and the holy name from each other. So I want to stop there. I think we've got another 5 minutes or so on your schedule. And I'd just like to request the devotees, if anyone has any reflections, what are you walking away with today? I'm sorry, I hope I didn't kill anybody with so many shlokas and things. My Guru Maharaj, he once said that if you can't quote Shastra, don't tell them you're my disciple. So it makes me nervous when you have that responsibility. Does anybody have any reflections? What are you walking away with from today?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Such a wonderful class. Devotees, if you have any questions or realization, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for this wonderful class today. So a couple of things which strike me, and the first thing is that it is kind of a clarification I want from you, that we say that our bhakti should not be eclipsed by jnana and karma. And I understand that there are some devotees who can get bhakti even without a jnana, like in the examples of gopis, and even in our material world, we have some examples like that. But for a normal conditioned soul, getting that kind of bhakti without any jnana is very difficult. So my understanding is that we are getting jnana, like in terms of reading about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, so that we can understand him, we can know him, and then we can approach him. Not like, as you said, that getting the jnana to showcase your jnana to everybody to get prestige, but getting the jnana so that we can reach and approach Krishna in a devotional mode. So is that a correct understanding of getting jnana?
Yeah, there's many people who study Srimad Bhagavatam in the university, but they don't become devotees.
Right.
Because they're just collecting some information. And there's a world of difference. Our purpose as devotees is not information collection. Mm-hmm. Rather, we study Shastra as a service to Guru. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it said, Tate Krishna Bhaji Kore Guru Sevan, that our Krishna Bhajan, that's my service to my Gurudev. Mm-hmm. And my service to my Gurudev, that's my Krishna Bhajan. So I learned Shastra to please Gurudev. Now, Jiva Goswami, in his commentary in that Anyabhilasita verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he describes three types of gyan: Tat Padartha Gyan, Tvam Padartha Gyan, and Jiva Brahma Aikya Gyan. Tat Padartha Gyan means knowledge about the Supreme Lord. That's important. Uh-huh. And he says that's beneficial for bhakti. Tvam Padartha Gyan, understanding myself as a spirit soul. That's beneficial for bhakti. But jiva brahma aikya gyan, understanding that the oneness of the jiva and the Lord, that may be detrimental for bhakti. In general, we want to have vigyan, and that vigyan comes by service. I would love to sit down and hear a class by Jayananda Prabhu, even though I'm told that Jayananda Prabhu practically didn't know any verses and he couldn't pronounce the Gayatri mantra properly, could barely pronounce the Hare Krishna mantra properly, but he had vigyan. He had so much realization which came from his guru seva. So that's the kind of knowledge that we want, that vigyan. And we also study Shastra, as we've been quoting Shastra so much today. I'm doing this as a service to my guru, and he's pleased by that. Mm-hmm. But if we do this because we want to impress people, oh, we know so much, that's bhakti in the mode of passion. It's right. Wrong. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. And just one other comment that I clearly learned today is about the term Vishad Yoga. And from my personal experience, I can say that that particular thing has helped me a lot because I have certain bad habits and like sometimes I just fall back to them. And then after that, I realize that I did something wrong. And due to that, I lose taste for some time in chanting, but I keep going, as you said, that don't stop. And then I lament a lot that why did I do that? And I pray to Krishna that please help me get out of it. And I'm not even qualified to call myself as your devotee or chanting your name because the thing I'm doing, it's not right. And that really helping me slowly and slowly to overcome. Like earlier, I used to fall back to those tendencies maybe once in a month or so. And now it is like once in a 3 months or 4 months, something like that. So I really understood the technical and shastric point about it, that it is real. Like I was doing it, but I was not knowing that. But today's class really like made me understand and it more firm that yes, it is a Vishad Yoga and this is what we have to do. So thank you very much, Prabhuji, for that.
It's yoga. It's a way to connect with God.
Yeah, right.
Lamentation. Right. But it doesn't mean, again, that we just go and start telling everybody in Bhagavatam class, you know, I was watching a movie yesterday. don't do that. Yeah. You'll spoil the class.
Huh? Yeah.
Rather, we tell that to Krishna. We tell that to Gurudev. Right. And we lament about that. Thank you, Prabhuji. Anybody else with any reflections? We have time for any more? Are we doing okay, Radha? Anybody else? Any reflections you're walking away with?
Hare
someone
Krishna,
just.
My pranam. I'm sorry. Prabhuji, thank you so much for giving your valuable time and giving such a nectaring class to us. So many instructions. I really need to meditate on it. What do you explain, like adhama, what was that?
Adhama tamasic bhakti or adhama rajasic or adhama.
I think I fall in that category. What happens actually when there see we have
uh-oh, we lost you. Are you still there? Maybe your connection went out. Hare Krishna. So maybe she's going to come back just to kind of reflect a little bit off what she was just saying. Sometimes devotees become depressed when we speak about these three different types of tamasic bhaktas, three types of rajasic bhaktas, and three types of sattvic bhaktas. And they think, oh my God, what is the hope? But there is hope. And that hope is Vishad Yoga, the yoga of lamentation. And we have a misunderstanding if we think that bhakti is all about making myself feel good and living in an illusion that everything is okay. That's not okay. That's not good at all.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Sorry, I got lost the connection. So
okay, you're found again.
yes. So I logged in from my phone. So, Prabhuji, you know, see, whenever we have problem in our life, we again go to Krishna and ask the solution. Just like Gajendra, he was calling out for Krishna. Draupadi was calling out for Krishna. So what we should do? We just call out for Krishna. We don't go to demigods or something like that. But still, it doesn't, you know, how to take you complete shelter. Whatever Krishna does, it's his mercy, and I shouldn't be asking to solve my material problems.
I cited a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita a moment ago. I'd like to cite that again. Tate Krishna Bhaji Kore Guru Du Sevan. Two things are there. If we're doing Krishna Bhajan, but we're not taking shelter of Guru, then it's just a show. We're not really taking shelter of Krishna. And in the same way, if I'm taking shelter of Guru, but I'm not doing Krishna Bhajan, then I'm just making a show of Guru Seva. I'm not really doing Guru Seva. But the two are intimately connected together. We have to be doing both those things. So we should be taking shelter of Krishna, but not just in a mechanical way. We take shelter of Krishna through Krishna's representatives, through the Bhagavatam, through all the Vaishnavas, through Krishna's voice that we may hear through the children, or even on some mundane news sometime, Krishna may speak through us through that. And it's most especially through Krishna's pure devotee, Sri Guru. We take shelter of him in that way. And that's the indication of our sincerity. That's really crying out. If we're not doing that, what is the depth of our crying out? It's just a show, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yes, Prabhuji. And you know, this pandemic, I feel like Krishna is really upset with me. I always, you know, devotees used to come, I used to cook and classes, and there is a lot of service. Because of pandemic, we are getting online association, but no service.
Yes.
No service. It means personally, the, you know, we give our time to them, and we, you know, do with the body. Means, you know, I don't know how to say that, but we use our body to cook for them, wash their clothes and like that. So that's not happening. So inside my feeling is like, you know, Krishna is really upset with me.
Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha says exactly what you're saying. He says that there's two types of ways to serve Guru. One is by his teachings, and the other is with the body. And it's very important. We want to serve with the body. I had the good fortune to have some association with Brahmananda Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple. Brahmananda had so much association with Prabhupada. And when you hear him talk about it, my God, it was just amazing. Where someone else who may be a Prabhupada disciple, but maybe they didn't even ever meet Prabhupada, they just got initiated by the mail, their realizations are not the same. So we want to do physical service. Sometimes, a year and a half ago, some devotees would tell me sometimes that, oh, Prabhuji, anyway, I don't have to directly associate with the devotees. I can go on Facebook. I can go on Zoom. And I used to tell them, I said, could you imagine? Something happened. Krishna left Vrindavan, and the gopis of Vrindavan are crying. And you go to the gopis of Vrindavan and you say, don't cry. Krishna's there on Zoom. You can associate with Krishna on Zoom. You can associate with Krishna on Facebook. Will the gopis be satisfied with that? Never. Never. And why not? Their desire to see the Lord, it's a subtle point I had some desire to touch on in this purport from Srila Prabhupada. It was a very deep point. That sometimes people have a desire for themselves to see the Lord. The gopis, they want to see Krishna, but it's not for their personal sense gratification. They want to see Krishna so they can serve him, like you're feeling with the devotees. And you know, we gave a class recently. I know it's a long answer. I'm sorry. I'm just touching this quickly. We spoke from the Chaitanya Bhagavad about what happened before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's just like the corona pandemic. The devotees in Navadvipa were basically locked down. They couldn't go out. They couldn't do Harinam. They couldn't preach to anybody. Nobody would listen to them. So what did they do? They came together not on Zoom, but they came together the best way they could, and they cried, and they prayed for other people, and they did really, really intense bhajan. And because of that intense bhajan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So I think this is the time of pandemic right now. We can remember that story. Thank you, Mataji. There's a couple of persons who've written in. Let me go to those if I can. Brenda Gopika says, Hare Krishna, pranams, dandavat pranams, obeisances. Give me permission to leave. She's leaving to go to the class. Someone else has written, Shamagori Mataji is doing a beautiful service of arranging his wonderful, amazing Zoom Sangha every morning for so many devotees every day. This group is Krishna's mercy to give us sweet, loving association. We cannot get it in person. This group is a saving grace for me. Yes. Don't think that oh, it's just bad because we can't come together physically, and then all I can do is just be in Maya. This is my opportunity. This is Krishna's arrangement for me now. But at the same time, as Mataji was just saying, it's not the same. I want to cook for the devotees. I want to give them a hug. I want to serve them out. I want to touch their bodies. We hanker for that. But that hankering can build up in our hearts like pressure in a pot until it comes to the point of exploding. And that exploding means that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will appear. Okay, anybody else with any final comments? I have another class I have to give in just a few minutes. Lila Purushottam Prabhu.
I would like to just ask hopefully a quick question. I want to know these two verses, these 11, 20, 27, 28. So is it to be understood in the same light as the Akama Sarva Kamova, that it's like the stage before the pure devotional service?
I haven't heard them compared to that verse, but just right off the bat, I would agree with that assessment. Yes, that then, it's the same kind of mood. You just go on. You just do bhakti no matter what.
Yeah. And then in that sense, because I was always even like a little bit discouraged with this first condition of Anya Bilashita Shunyam.
Yeah.
Right in the beginning of the discussion on sadhana bhakti. So it's still a bit confusing for me. So could it be understood that actually this Anya Bilashita Shunyam is like what could be equal to Uttam Adhikar for bhakti, for pure bhakti? That we would use the word Uttama Adhikari. I don't mean Uttam Bhagavat, not like real.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah, I mean, you understand something about Uttama Adhikari. And I don't want to go there right now. It's be a little hard for the devotees to understand maybe. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on the Anya Bilashita verse, he gives a similar explanation that he does to the Apichet Sudaracharo verse. He says that Anya Bilashita Shunya means that I'm not taking shelter of any of these different things. It doesn't mean that your heart doesn't have any of those things whatsoever there, but it means that I'm not taking shelter of them consciously. I'm wanting to take shelter somewhere else. Sureshwar, is that okay, Prabhuji?
Just one more thing, because that's you're okay. Touching exactly the point of that I really need to have clarified.
Yeah.
Does it mean that I may have the material desires, but I consciously don't perform my devotional practice, my devotional service to fulfill those desires?
Right. Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Explanation?
Yeah, Bhaktivinoda, in his commentary in the first verse of Upadeshamrita, Vachavegam, Manasakrodavegam, speaking about how we should control the tongue and the mind and the genitals, he says a very startling thing. He says, this is not bhakti. This verse is not about bhakti. It's not just that you know, that every rabbit, because they're a vegetarian, they're going to get bhakti, you know, or every animal who's celibate or something. That doesn't look like that. But it means this, Bhaktivinoda says, it's the doorway. Because if we don't give these things up, then we're not even coming in the doorway. But for us, maybe for many of us, we haven't even come to the doorway yet. And therefore, we still have some hope. We're hearing from this verse today, Vishad Yoga, the yoga of lamentation. And we own it. we identify and not just live in a fantasy. I'm like a pure devotee because they're asking me to give class, you know, or this or that. Is that okay, Prabhuji?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for taking part today. And Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu, I'm going to take your comment, and that's the last one because I have another class to give for some devotees in Chile.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you, Prabhu. Very, very nice scientific class on bhakti. So my question is, Prabhu, in from chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that any sacrifice that we perform should lead to knowledge. Right? So how do we understand, like, the sacrifice, any sacrifice we are performing in a practical way? How do we understand that point, Prabhuji?
Well, there's knowledge in different modes of nature, Krishna says in the Gita, in the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness. And then there's Visuddhisattva, there's knowledge which is bhakti knowledge. And there's knowledge, there's gyan, and there's vigyan. We want to have that vigyan knowledge, which comes from serving guru. The vigyan, like I gave the example of Jayananda Prabhu, or the vigyan like Gaurakishordas Babaji has. And my wife, she's pointing out too, in Prabhupada's purport in the second canto, chapter 1, text 10, Prabhupada writes, the bona fide spiritual master reasonably explains everything to the disciple and the authorities of Vedic wisdom. The disciple can receive such teachings not exactly intellectually, but by submissive inquiries and a service attitude. It's not just an intellectual adjustment, but as Prabhupada says, it's by submissive inquiries and a service attitude, like Jayananda Prabhu had. Is that okay, Sureshwar Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu. But if you're explaining to a new devotee, right, he's not on completely new person, right? From that perspective, I'm trying to think, Prabhuji.
Well, we have to give medicine according to the patient's disease. Yes. And I don't believe it's just all new devotees. Every new devotee is not all the same. Some new devotees have strong faith. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, you can read in Bhakti Vikas Maharaj's biography, they discourage devotees from reading books. Rather, they encourage them to do service and to hear Krishna Katha as a service. But then certain other devotees, he also encouraged to read and to study. So it depends on the quality of faith that a person has. Sometimes we meet people who really have a lot of faith in information. And they think that if I collect a lot of information, it's going to be really good. And that's an emotive passion. But sometimes we encourage that. Yes, you should go to Mayapur and stay in the holy dham and take bath in the Ganga every day and take prasadam and have darshan Radha Madhav. And you should go and get your bhakti shastri degree and get lots of information. And it's very tricky what we're telling them. But because by doing that, they're going to get association with devotees. They're going to be forced to think about things, not just to collect information. They're going to get purified by being in the dham and taking bath in the Ganga in so many ways. And those things are the real benefit, not just the information collection, which we've met different scholars who have a lot of information, but they don't have any bhakti. Is that better?
Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. I have to go. My phone is ringing. Krishna Khan, can you take this back to Rupa Babu?
Very nice question and answer session. We can end the call here. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for an enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you and we look forward to your association again in the future. Let's pay obeisance to Prabhuji.
Thank you for organizing such a nice program.
Thank you for the wonderful class. Please come back.
Please come again. Hare Krishna.
Now we will have Navadvipa Parikrama by Padma Sakhi Mataji. I will hand over call to Padma Sakhi Mataji. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we will see our, I think today is day 5. So we finished Antardweep, Simantadweep, Godrumadweep, and today we will be going to Madhyadweep. It's a very, very interesting place. But before we start, we'll just take the blessings of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Panchatattva, Sri Mati Radharani, Sri Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, and all the Acharyas and all the assembled devotees, so we can do the yatra with a very, very humble mood. So Madhya Dweep, if you see in the map, it's here. From Godrumadweep, we have to come here. And tomorrow we'll go to Kola Dweep. So as we all know, every island is representing one process of devotional service. So Madhyadweep represents Smaranam. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Navadweep Dham Mahatmya, he has written, to the south of Godruma lies this enchanting island of Madhyadweepa. It's very beautiful, filled with radiant series of forests. During midday period of his pastimes, Lord and his associates stroll along this forest, overcoming madness of divine love. When will the devotees who are residents of Madhyadweep be merciful to me and show me, oh look, there is our Lord Gauranga Srihari on the bank of Brahma Kunda within the town of Brahma Nagara, is dancing and chanting with associated in Grand Kirtan. When will I see that astonishing form of Gaura with a beautiful complexion like pure gold, wearing a garland of forest flowers with two long arms and booming in loud voice? Chant the names of Gaura Hari, dear brother. Without Gaura, we cannot attain the service of Radha and Krishna. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written. So now, why is this called as Madhyadweepa? So Saptarishis, all the seven rishis, one time they will go to see Brahma. This village, the Madhyadweepa is now called as Majida village. And the Saptarishis were living at this place. So why did they come here? Once they will go to see Brahma. And Brahma was taking the names of Gauranga. Then the Saptarishis will ask, like, who is this Gauranga? You're taking these names. So then Brahma explained the glories. Brahma explains about Lord Gauranga and the glories of him, and he will instruct the Saptarishis to go to Navadweep. So they all will come to Navadweep and they will be sitting and they will be doing katha, Gaura katha. So they will be discussing like various pastimes of the Lord. They will say how beautiful this place is going to be. They will also say that he's going to appear in in Jagannath Mishra's house. Then they're talking about his Prakata Leela, his Aprakata Leela. Then they're also saying that he will go to Jagannath Puri at the later point. So then hearing all the pastimes that the sages are, talking, then Lord becomes so ecstatic and he will start displaying, his Bhakta Vatsala. So he appears before them. Then the time that the Lord appeared was Madhyana, midday. So because he appeared Madhyana, it's called Madhyadweep. And, midday sun is so effulgent. So the Lord also appeared so effulgent as the midday sun. And the Saptarishi started offering prayers and they were falling down again and again. And they said, we wish we have thousands of eyes to see your beauty. And they were like, please bless us so constantly we can think about you and your pastimes. And then the Lord left. When the Lord left, they were feeling so much separation. And they started Hatta, the marketplace of discussing Gaura Katha. So this is the place. And this is also called a Saptarishi Ghat, where they were staying. After the Lord left, they came to this place. And then they are at the Saptarishi Ghat, they were discussing Gaura Katha. So I'm just showing this picture. So then we will come to Naimisharanya. So there is Naimisharanya. Even here we hear Naimisharanya, where Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami and all the sages have assembled. So Naimisharanya is even here because at the beginning we have seen that all the holy places are residing in Navadweep. So what happens in Naimisharanya, all the sages were sitting and they were discussing Gaura Bhagavatam. So when they were discussing that Bhagavat Katha on Gauranga Mahaprabhu, then this place is also in south of Madhyadweep. There is a river called Gomati River. This place is there. And on the bank of this place, this Gaurakatha is going on, then they were all saying like how Kali became so powerful. They were discussing all the Katha and Shiva. We know how Shiva is like, he's Vaishnava Naam Yata Shambho, the greatest Vaishnava. So he couldn't control. He was like, he wanted to participate in that Gaurakatha. We know like how even in Vrindavan Yatra, when we did, like he wants to all his, like he comes as Gopeshwar Mahadev. Then whole of Vrindavan, he's there everywhere. No, he likes Krishna. He's the topmost, like he loves Krishna so much. We know all that. Then now also he cannot control and he wants to come and he was riding on his Nandi bull. And the bull was coming slowly. And he started saying, Nandi, Nandi, come on, you have to go very quickly. The Gaurakatha is going on. Let's go, let's go. And he realized that the bull is going to go very slowly. Then he will go to Brahma and he will say, can you please give your swan? I need this one because Hamsa, like if I go on Hamsa Vahana, then it will be very fast. So please give. Then Brahma, you know, he gives bull to Brahma and he takes the swan vehicle of Brahma's and he will start coming to this Naimisharanya. So now there is one temple here, Hamsa Vahana temple. And we can see the detail. We'll see the video after the session. So Hamsa Vahana, that was the Vahana's vehicle, Hamsa is swan. So there's a temple dedicated here to Lord Shiva and the deity that I'll show you. Yeah, so this is the deity in the temple. If you see, this is the Hamsa, the swan, and Shiva is here. So this deity is there, but most of the time the deity is in the water. It's kept under the water, like under the Gomati water. It's kept there, but only 3 days in a year, the full moon days in the month of Chaitra, they used to bring inside the temple and then worship. But a few years ago, which year I don't remember, but few years ago the deity was stolen. And when the deity was stolen, they decided maybe this is not a good, you know, idea to keep him outside, and they brought the deity inside. And why they keep in water because Shiva, he's so much ardent desire to see Gauranga. So he has that burning desire, is so hot all the time. So to cool him down, they kept him in the water. So now once they brought him inside, they just every day, you know, bathe him with water to cool his body. His body is very hot because he has that burning desire to see Lord Gauranga. And every year, during the fest, they celebrate a three-week festival, and we will almost have a 50,000 devotees there. And even Hamsavahana temple visited our Mayapur temple also. If you see, Prabhu Pankajangri Prabhu is there. So this is the Hamsavahana. Then we come to Brahmana Pushkara or Brahmana Pura, Pushkara Theerta. So in Satyayuga, once there was this Brahmana called Tivadasa Brahmana. If you know, this Pushkar Tirtha is in Rajasthan. It's 10 kilometers from Ajmer. I have heard one time the story of this Pushkar Tirtha, that one time Lord Brahma, he was looking for a place on the earth, and he threw 3 petals of the lotus. This was said in Mayapur live session. One time they said this story. So about Pushkar Tirtha in Rajasthan, how that has come. So Brahma threw 3 lotus petals and it fell randomly at 3 areas. And all the 3 areas were filled with the heavenly Pushkar Tirtha's water. And Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu settled at these places. So one time Lord Brahma had a curse from his wife Saraswati. What happened was, Brahma was planning for an Ashwamedha Yajna. For some yagya, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, he was planning for a yagya, and that yagya is definitely should be done along with his wife. So then Mother Saraswati was very late. She couldn't come on time for the yagya. So what happens, they just chose another girl. Lord Indra will go and choose another girl by name Gayatri to sit along with Brahma and do the yagya. So after the yagya is over, then Mother Saraswati will come, and Saraswati will curse Brahma that nobody on the earthly planet will worship Brahma. But that curse doesn't apply to the Pushkara Tirtha. Pushkara Tirtha is a place where Brahma is there, and even a temple is also dedicated to Brahma there. So Pushkara Tirtha, that doesn't apply. They will worship Brahma. And also it is said that one will get, just by looking at this sacred Pushkara Tirtha, one will get the piety of performing a Ashwamedha Yajna. And I think Pulatsya Muni, when they were mentioning the glories of this Pushkar Tirtha, they were worried that, if people just by looking, if they get piety, maybe there is a problem that they will not follow any religious practices. So then they reduced it to only, I think, in the Kartik month. This benefit applies only to in the month of Kartik, when they just bathe, they get all the piety. It's not throughout the year. So just because they were thinking people will get lazy and they don't do any pious activities if we keep this simplified process, then it was reduced to that. So this was the pastime that I have heard from one of the Mayapur live sessions. So now coming to Navadvip Pushkara Tirtha. So this is called as Brahmana Pushkara. So what happened was, in Satya Yuga, there was a Brahmin called Divadasa Brahmana, and he left his family because he had a desire to see all the holy places, especially he wanted to see Pushkara Tirtha. Then on the way, he came to Navadvip and some voice had said, stay here. So he was staying at this place. And then he was doing all his bhajan, he was doing his daily routine. Then years passed, he became old, and he became so old that he's blind, he cannot see properly, his body got emaciated. Then he again developed the desire of going to the holy places, and again Pushkara Tirtha. So knowing his heart, the Brahmana form of Pushkara Tirtha came, and he said, Oh, Divadasa Brahmana, no need to worry. See the pond, look at the pond right in front of you, and you will see the Pushkara Tirtha. So he will just look, and Pushkara Tirtha got manifested there. Like, he had a transcendental vision. He saw Pushkara Tirtha there. And after having the vision, this Brahmana was very feeling sad. He was saying that, you have to come all the way. You took the trouble of coming all the way till here. Then Pushkara Tirtha starts talking, and he will say, no, don't worry. I am originally, this is the place. This is the place where I am residing, and I have expanded myself to the western part of India. So I'm originally residing here. I didn't take any trouble of coming here. So this again proves that all the holy places and all the tirthas are residing in Navadvip. And also he will say, oh Brahmana, so I will tell you a confidential message. Very soon Lord Gauranga is going to come in Sachi Mata's house, and he will do all the, he will spread Gaura Prema, he will do the Sankirtan, and he will just, this is that river. This is near the Pushkara Tirtha. So yeah, and so he will say that the Lord is going to come, and he will float all the universes in Prema. And he said, whoever resides here will see the lotus feet of Gaurahari. And it is said that at this Pushkara, the Pushkara Tirtha we are seeing is from Rajasthan. But at the Pushkara Tirtha in Navadvip, if we stay there, the mischievous mentality, even millions of years, if they do Krishna bhajan, they don't get the taste. But the same worship, if they do to Gauranga here, they will easily get the Radha Krishna Prema very easily. They will attain here. So he said, stay here and perform Gaura bhajana. And Pushkara Tirtha, he left. That the Brahmana who came as Pushkara Tirtha personified Brahmana, he left. And then the voice came. The voice said, you will appear in Gaura Leela and you will swim in the Gaura Prema. Then the Brahmana started staying here and he did his worship. And even the Kurukshetra also is reciting here in this place. So this is next, right next to Pushkara Tirtha. So this is the place where demigods come and they worship Gauranga. They made this as the mark. They opened the marketplace, Hatta, holy name, the marketplace of holy name. And this is a little bit raised place, so Ucha, little bit raised. So it's called Ucha Hatta. And so the Brahmanas were sitting here, and the demigods, they were reciting the Gaura Katha. So this is that place. So Kurukshetra is also there, the Brahma Vartha. The near Kurukshetra, there is that river. I don't remember the Saraswati and the other river. It starts with B. I forgot. So those two meet, and that place is called Brahma. Not Godavari. that place is called as Brahmavarta. Even that is the Kurukshetra and Brahmavarta is also there at this place. It's called as Hatta Danga or Uncha Hatta. We know how sacred Kurukshetra is. And if I'm not wrong, the Brahmavarta, they say the sages wrote Vedas there. I don't know how far it is correct, but I heard it somewhere. So if we come to this place, whatever you get in 100 years of, you know, hearing about Krishna Katha, you can get it just in one night staying here. And then this is Panchaveni. This is the last place of Madhya Dvipa. So Pancha is five. So there are five streams of holy rivers flowing here. And this is called Mahaprayag, because Prayag, we know that it's a confluence of three rivers, Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati. But here there are another two. So basically Ganga is flowing in three streams. So three streams of Ganga are Alakananda, Mandakini and Bhagirathi. So they three meet along with Yamuna and Saraswati. And Gaurahari, Lord Gaurahari also used to come here. This is a bathing spot. Thereby he is purifying the place in Kali Yuga. This place so that the Kali Yuga people can get benefited. So Vedavyas and the Rishis also assemble, and they say that this place is like, you know, in all the 14 worlds, there is no place compared to here. Even Manasa Ganga is also flowing here. And even who takes bath here will never take birth again in this material world. So this is a very, very holy place, Mahaprayag in Madhya Dweep. So this is the Mahaprayag. This is the place. So we'll take the blessings of the Panchaveni River. So thank you. This is for today, Madhya Dweep. Mataji, I have that video. If you can switch off the live and YouTube, I can share the video.
One second.
Is it?
It was Vrinda, Mataji, she said.
Yeah, I understand.
We were in upstairs, so then I said,